This is a 1986 Honda Civic, and it's a shockingly well-preserved example of a car from 40 years ago. Everybody preserves Lamborghinis and Ferraris over the years, but nobody thinks to save a Honda Civic. Yet, that's exactly what we have here, a tremendously well-kept time capsule Honda Civic, and today I'm going to review it and show you all the quirks and features of a simple, basic car from 40 years ago. Before I get started, big news, this Honda Civic is currently for sale and it's being auctioned live on Cars and Bids. This truly is a remarkable car, less than 33,000 miles, one owner, always in California, tremendously well preserved, and it's being offered with no reserve on Cars and Bids. So once you finish watching this video, click the link in the description below to visit the live auction for this crazy Honda Civic, where you can bid on it and buy it only on Cars and Bids. All right, time for the quirks and features of this Honda Civic. So, this is a 1986 model, like I mentioned. It's a third generation Honda Civic, which came out for the 83 model year. Now, Honda has recently released the 11th generation Civic. So this is obviously a very early attempt at something that's gone on to become, of course, one of the most popular, ubiquitous cars. You see them everywhere. This is an OG, early, old school Civic. Now, these third generation Civic models were sold as a four-door sedan, a three-door hatchback like this car, or there was a five-door like small van that was called the Civic Wago van. It was actually surprisingly popular. You could get this in any of those body styles. Now, this is also the Civic generation that spawned the CRX, sort of the sporty Civic coupe that went on to become a pretty popular car in the late 80s and early 90s. It started here. But this one, this particular Civic, is the most basic, bare bones, simple, stripped-down transportation you can find. This is the absolute base model, cheapest one that they offered. This is a one-owner car that has always been with a woman here in California. She went into the dealership in 1986 and paid $5,700. She said, "Give me the cheapest thing you got." And that was this. To prove this car's base model status, let's talk through its base model features, some of which will seem absolutely absurd by modern standards, but they are all true. Starting with the engine, this had the smallest, cheapest engine offered, a 1.3 liter carbureted four-cylinder with only 60 horsepower. Now, like I said, this was the Civic generation that gave us the original CRX and the high-performance SI. This is when Honda started experimenting with hot hatchbacks, but it wasn't this car. The SI had over 90 horsepower, a real rocket ship. This thing was stuck with a mere 60 horses. But the engine probably doesn't surprise you. You'd expect a 40-year-old base model economy car to be slow. What might surprise you is that it's missing a passenger mirror. This car really skirted the government regulations. It just barely complied. And back in the 80s, the government didn't require passenger side mirrors, so Honda made them optional. If you got the most basic model, you didn't get a passenger mirror, only one on the driver's side, and of course a rear view mirror inside on the ceiling. That was it. This car also has steel wheels. No alloys, of course, no hubcaps even, and they are 13-inch steel wheels. Not exactly big old cool looking wheels to go with your Honda Civic. But my very favorite base model exterior quirk on this Civic, you gotta go to the roof to see it. It's right here, this little black plastic panel that's screwed into place. It almost looks like a plug that's there
to cover up something.
It's there because this car doesn't have a radio. Base model meant something very different in 1986 compared to now. These days, base model means you just don't get leather heated seats. Back in the day, you didn't get a radio. And when you're in the car, you can see the plate where the radio should be. It just says Honda. There's a plastic plate there instead of the radio, a panel. You didn't get a radio. And as it relates to the roof, that means you didn't get an antenna for radio reception. And because Honda didn't want to make two separate roofs, one for the cars with the radio, one for the cars without, the cars without a radio got the same roof as the radio cars, but that little plastic panel went in place of the antenna and it plugged the hole where the antenna would be. So this car doesn't have a radio or an antenna. You get a plastic Honda panel and a little plug where the antenna should be. And the base model quirks go much further than that on the inside. In this car, you don't have a cigarette lighter. You have an ashtray, amazingly. You couldn't make a car in the 80s without an ashtray, but there's no cigarette lighter. You had to light it yourself. You don't have a center console. There is no form of armrest or cup holder or center console storage in this car. You just had a gear lever sticking out of the floor and a parking brake sticking out of the floor. Although it's worth pointing out that behind the parking brake, you do have a little plastic panel where there is another ashtray, this time for the rear passengers. This car doesn't have a passenger side mirror, so you can see, but it has two ashtrays, front and rear. That's how important smoking was in the 80s. It was prioritized over road safety. Anyway, this car also does not have a tachometer. You can see the gauge cluster consists solely of a speedometer, a fuel gauge, and then a temperature gauge. That's it. It's especially notable because this is a manual transmission car. It's merely a four-speed manual, as you can see. Didn't even bother with fifth. No tachometer to see where the revs are. You just kind of had to hear it and feel it. This car, of course, also does not have air conditioning. No surprise there. It has a fan, which you can adjust with these climate controls here, but no air conditioning in your Civic. This car really, when you think about it, kind of distills down the basics of what you need in a car. It is the car in its most simple form. You might want some nice luxuries, but you don't get them. Instead, you have only what you need. So, with that in mind, what does this car have? The answer is pretty much only what the government mandated. For example, you have windshield wipers in this car, but no intermittent wipers. You can pretty much turn them on or off, although there are two speeds, low and high, which is a wonderful luxury. In the center of the dashboard, you don't have climate vents like you would in basically every other car. Instead, the central climate vents are positioned just below the windshield, and you have a little switch that you can use to move the airflow from shooting on to the windshield to act as a defogger, or from shooting into the cabin. You had to choose, and basically the same vents dealt with the same purpose. No separate climate vents mounted closer to passengers for their comfort, because of course not. In this car, you also had a blue interior, specifically blue vinyl upholstery on the seats. Not even cloth, you got the really cheap stuff. Amazingly, this car has three-point seat belts in front, which is a surprisingly nice safety feature for its time period. I wonder if that was mandated by 86, not sure, but this car has them. However, it doesn't have any power accessories. There's no power windows in this car. You have a hand crank and you turn it. There's no power locks in this car. You have a key and you twist it. And there's no power mirrors, or mirror, as it were. You just have this little lever on the mirror, and that's how you adjust it. In fact, speaking of mirrors, this car doesn't even have mirrors on the sun visors. You put down the visors to block the sun, and you have no mirror there to look at yourself. It's not illuminated, it's not lighted. It doesn't even exist. Only the basics for this Civic. In fact, this car is so basic that in the back, for the rear window, you didn't even get a defroster defogger. You know those little lines that go across the rear window on every single car? Yeah,
Not this one. You can see where the blank is for the button for that defogger defroster. It's not here. Now, when you move into the back, of course, things continue their basicness back there. You have a bench seat in back, and pretty much a bench. There's no contours for your butt and your body like modern seats would have. It's just a flat blue vinyl bench with only lap belts, no three-point belts back there, and no headrests. The benefit of the headrest had not yet been discovered for whiplash protection, or perhaps it had been discovered, but they simply didn't care. In back, you also missed out on any storage compartment, nothing like that back there, no cup holders in back, of course, no charge ports like you would get in a modern car, but you did have that ashtray for rear seat passengers so they could smoke. And it's worth pointing out the rear windows are also vented to open. You can open them just a little bit so you can get a little airflow back there, although I think that's probably also related to smoking. I suspect that they figured rear passengers would be smoking and utilizing the ashtray, and if you did that, you needed a place where you could push out your cigarette ashes, and that's probably why they vented the window, not because they actually wanted to give you a concession or any luxury. In fact, the only concession to emotion or design or excitement basically in this entire car is the rear glass, which is also the rear hatch, which I've always felt is kind of a cool element to the look of this car. I say that because it's actually kind of cool how the rear of this car is completely flat and without any bodywork. The rear window is sort of inset within the rear of the car, and instead of body panels painted back here, it has this black trim in the lower part of the window that certainly gave it a distinctive and special look, which was kind of missing from the rest of this relatively generic car. Now, a few interesting things back here. For one, the only way to open this tailgate is to stick the key into the keyhole, twist, and then it pops open and you open it the rest of the way. There was no tailgate popper inside the car. If you wanted to get back here, you had to do it yourself. Also interesting, you can see the third brake light mounted here on the tailgate. The third brake light became a US government mandate in the mid-1980s. Clearly, this car was not designed to accommodate such an advanced piece of technology, so they just sort of tacked it on to comply with the mandate. It doesn't look good, but it satisfied the rule. And speaking of rules, another interesting thing. You pop open the tailgate, and you can see that all of the rear lighting stays in place, which meant that you're lifting something into the back, you had to lift it like 6 or 8 inches higher to clear these rear lights. They just stayed there. And that's because of another government regulation that says that lighting can't be on a piece of movable bodywork. So these had to stick in place, and this is just how Honda figured they would do it. The upper part goes up, the lower part stays put. And if you were lifting something heavy into the car, too bad, you figured it out. Now, the cargo area back here is pretty small, but decently sizable considering the size of this car, and the rear seat is tremendously easy to fold. You have this little latch, you just flip it and push the seat down, and then you have a pretty good cargo area in back. You also have a little light back here, a tiny little cargo light that illuminates what you're doing, although unfortunately it is broken. It is like the only thing in this entire car that doesn't work properly, but it was there, a nice little luxury to show you what was going on in back. Of course, everyone else could also see what was going on in back because the rear windows were absolutely massive. They were not tinted. It was an era where breaking into cars would have been pretty easy. You just look in and take what you want. You knew this thing didn't have an alarm. It didn't even have a radio. Theft was easier back in the day. Things have certainly changed since then, but that was the Civic. Now, speaking of the look of this car, the windows, the rear, it's worth pointing out that the general design was really, really basic and simple. You look at this car from the outside and you see just a car. And that's because Honda, at this point, in the mid-1980s, was really still trying to make it in the US market, to gain a foothold and to gain market share. And they didn't want their design to alienate anyone. So they made it as basic and simple and generic as possible so that no one would be turned off by the design of this car, so they could get as many people as possible. And this is a strategy that Honda followed throughout the 1980s and into the 1990s. Their designs were quite uncontroversial and not necessarily in a good way. You could say bland, you could say boring, but that was the point. They didn't want to take any risks and try to scare people away. They wanted to make cars as middle of the road as possible to capture as large of the bell curve of people as they possibly could. And so this is a fairly generic looking car, and the only real risk in design they took was kind of the rear window look of this car, which frankly isn't really that much of a risk. But that's how they injected a little bit of emotion into a car that was otherwise entirely sold on reliability, ownership costs, fuel economy, all the things that appealed to your head. Honda wasn't going after your heart. It just wasn't part of the business plan back then. All right, driving the OG Honda Civic. Now, this is not actually the OG Honda Civic. Like I mentioned, this is the third generation, but when you drive it, it certainly feels OG. It's amazing what the Civic has evolved into, and it's also kind of amazing that there was ever a time, and I always feel this way when I drive cars from this era, there was ever a time when we viewed this as like normal. I mean, this was a basic car in its era, but it was like a totally normal car. But getting in it now, it feels so different from a normal modern car that it's almost hard to believe this was ever anything other than a curiosity. But it really was. It was like a totally normal car in its day. So why is it such a curiosity? First thing, you're so low and the car is so small. It's so funny, all these states have been restricting the sale of K cars. I mean, this isn't a K car, but it's damn close. And it was viewed as like a totally acceptable normal car in its day. So it's not just the physical size. I mean, it's amazing. I can reach over and touch the passenger side door panel, absolutely no problem. The window, I can hold on to the grab handle on the passenger side like it's no big deal. It's kind of hilarious. But it's not just the physical size of the car. It's also you're so low and you have so many windows. Like the sheer amount of window around you is crazy, because this car comes in the days before there's all these regulations about putting stuff in the doors to make the cars safer. And so they just filled the doors with window. And that's exactly what you have. Now, in terms of performance, it's actually not so bad. I was looking, when I was writing the script for this video and I was looking at the numbers, I was thinking, oh, this thing's gonna be a total dog. Just like ridiculously slow. That's actually not really the case. I'm driving it sort of on like town streets, like city roads. And it's just fine. I imagine taking it on the highway, you might feel a little bit differently. But around here, I don't really see a drawback or a problem with like cruising around. And that speaks to the weight of the car. I mean, then the physical size of the car, the 60 horsepower, whatever it is, would certainly not be enough in any bigger vehicle. But this thing is just so small that it actually works okay. And it gets up to normal, you know, 35, 40 miles an hour speed relatively quickly and without really all that much drama. It's also really not all that uncomfortable of a car, which is kind of surprising to me. The suspension, I mean, it feels compliant and fairly calm and reasonable in here. When you get going, you do notice some wind rush. I have the windows closed. It's just, you know, the tolerances were different back then and weather stripping was different. And frankly, people's attitude towards how a car should feel on the road was different. Really, this thing is amazing for its value as like a relic, as like an interesting relic. And that's exactly what I feel like it is when I'm driving it. I'm just absolutely astonished at the way it drives and feels and exists. It's just such a simple and basic car from a totally different time. It definitely feels more stable than I thought. I mean, this car can be driven around with reasonable, you know, existence in kind of normal everyday traffic. And other people won't think you're crazy, like you're going the speed of everybody else. But you, when you're driving the car, will think you're crazy because it's just such a totally different experience compared to what is a modern car today, even a basic modern car today. Truthfully, I kind of like it. I kind of think it's a pretty cool experience. I think it's amazing to go back in time and check these things out. Oh. You got to put in a lot of gas on first gear to get it going because it just has no power. It's just so gutless. You really got to be on it. You can't just let the clutch out and gotta let the car do its thing. It just doesn't have enough power and torque to actually do that. I will say it's not particularly like enjoyably exciting to drive. This is certainly not a Civic Si. Like it's not tuned for handling or performance or excitement. The enjoyment factor comes in just the simple, amazing preservation of such a basic car. You enjoy it because you're having a totally different experience from everybody else. I'm really taken with this thing. It's just so unusual and such a throwback to a totally different era of vehicle. What a relic, what an interesting relic of a car. And so that's the 1986 Honda Civic hatchback. Basic transportation is, well, basic today, but even more so 4 decades ago. And it's amazing to take a trip back in time and see what a simple, normal car was like in the mid-1980s. And now it's time to give this Honda Civic a Doug score. And the Doug score is here, 38 out of 100, which puts the Civic here against some similar cars. Truthfully, there's not much to this Civic, and it's not especially exciting from a driver's car standpoint, but its simplicity is also what makes it cool and appealing, and I'm sure it would turn heads at Cars and Coffee. This is a neat car and an amazing throwback to the basic car of the 1980s, and I'm thrilled I had the chance to spend the day with this Civic. That gives us a great look into the...